intro.
Little place where we this cathartic little refuge from the onslaught of the Matrix, where we are able to commiserate, hopefully. Anyway, top of the second hour this Tuesday, September 24th, 2019, I want to get to Norman Dodd in his own words. I particularly want to get to the Rowan Gaither clip, but before we do that, and again, you know, Norman Dodd basically jumps in and just sort of reiterates the same thing I'm talking about that came from C. Wright Mills, that has come from so many folks. And if you don't know who, you know, when he talks about Rowan Gaither, for example, Horace Rowan Gaither Jr. over at the Ford Foundation, who is glib in his hubris, according to the story that Norman Dodd intimates. To give you some background on that, for those who don't know, and so just kind of working my way back to Norman Dodd from C. Wright Mills, The Power Elite, again, the Wikipedia summary, Wikipedia, The Power Elite entry, under the section titled Summary. So I'm just going to read all of this, and then we'll go to the John Coleman piece, and then Norman Dodd's clip. So according to Mills, the eponymous power elite are those that occupy the dominant positions in the dominant institutions. And again, I'll back up. For those who don't know, The Power Elite is a 1956 book by sociologist Charles Wright Mills, C. Wright Mills, in which Mills calls attention to the interwoven interests of the leaders of the military, corporate, and political elements of society. And you think of guys, you know, for example, I mean, they kind of pop out from behind the wizard's curtain from time to time, and then they sort of slide back in there. They scurry back like roaches, or they, you know, slither back like snakes. Guys like Michael Chertoff, for example, you know, who arrange handsome contracts for their, you know, their own companies, Dick Cheney, that kind of stuff, you know, the Bushes, obviously that kind of stuff. So, it's that kind of thing. Military, corporate, political elements of society. And Mills suggests that the ordinary citizen is a relatively powerless subject of manipulation by those entities. Question. People say, oh, that's just crazy. You know, okay. So, you know, maybe you vote for people. Let's just pretend for a second that voting really does accomplish something. Let's pretend that. How many pieces of legislation have you ever introduced? How many pieces of legislation have any of the folks that you know, that you personally know, how many pieces of legislation have they ever introduced? How many pieces of legislation have been introduced by people that you know of, or that you may know secondhand, for example? You know, how far do we go until we get 6 degrees of separation, you know? And then, you know, it's a short trip, really, in this discussion from what I'm saying to Martin Gillen's and Benjamin Page study testing theories of American politics, elites, interest groups, and average citizens. Remember that 2014 study published over at Princeton? Martin Gillen's, Benjamin Page, testing theories of American politics, elites, interest groups, and average citizens, in which they summarize their findings. They examine 20 years worth of data, and they summarize their findings. Multivariate analysis indicates that economic elites and organized groups representing business interests have substantial independent impacts on U.S. government policy. You know, like ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC, and groups like that. That should be a criminal enterprise, as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, there are organizations, let's see, here's one entry, SourceWatch. American Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC, describes itself as the largest, quote, membership association of state legislators, but over 98% of its revenue comes from sources other than legislative dues, primarily from corporations and corporate foundations. What does ALEC do? ALEC's agenda extends into almost all areas of law. Okay. Well, what kind of... And so you have organizations like this that are, you know, basically writing public policy. Whoever can, you know, you create your little mechanism that throws off cash flow, that paces with inflation. And it's usually some sort of criminal enterprise, because what is it? Was it de Balzac's axiom? Behind every great fortune, there's a crime, I think, is that one. You have your little enterprise that is probably criminal somewhere in nature. He's a hedge fund manager. I saw an article recently. Somebody, you know, people are figuring it out. Is there really such a thing as a hedge fund manager, or are they all CIA mules? That's kind of a rhetorical question. You know, with offshore fun little things that have been engineered. So the city of London says, it's beyond our jurisdiction. We can't, what can we do? What can we do? So you have your little enterprise that somewhere is probably criminal in nature, that throws off some cash flow, that, cause it's all about cash flow. Cash flow is king. They don't understand. Robert Kiyosaki is absolutely right when he says this system, this predatory economic scheme, is designed to penalize the saver. You hear, you know, I mean, we've lost that, two generations ago? You're supposed to save 10% of your income, whatever. Don't save it. Not in the traditional way of thinking, because you will be penalized. Inflation is the hidden tax. It will eat you alive. It's designed to eviscerate and eat out the substance of your wealth. And in his Economic Consequences of the Peace, John Maynard Keynes even agreed that Keynesian economics is probably a great scheme for the confiscation of wealth. By a continuing process of inflation, governments can confiscate secretly and unobserved an important part of the wealth of their citizens. There is no subtler, no surer means of overturning the existing basis of society than to debauch the currency. How do you do that? Well, inflation is a great mechanism. The process engages all the hidden forces of economic law on the side of destruction, Keynes wrote, and does it in a manner which not one man in a million is able to diagnose. So you subject the general citizenry to that, make sure that you have these other folks. They're you know, I mean, like Norman Dodd will say, you know, you get In the power elite circles, you get a certain diet of banking, because you have to understand that cash flow is king in this scheme. You have to understand how that works. So you engineer an enterprise that's somewhere, somehow, probably criminal or at least predatory in nature, exploiting disparities, things like that, or creating them. But we don't call it that anymore. We played the clip of Carlin to begin today's broadcast from 1988. euphemisms. Carlin says he doesn't like euphemisms, you know. So we don't call it exploiting disparities now. We call it disruptive innovation. Disruptive innovation. And disruptive technology. And we have disrupt cons and, you know, things like that. Technology, it's a beautiful thing. In business theory, a disruptive innovation is an innovation that creates a new market and value network and eventually disrupts an existing market and value network, displacing established market-leading firms, products, and alliances. The term was first defined and first analyzed by the American scholar Clayton M. Christensen and his collaborators beginning in 1995 and has been called the most influential business idea of the early 21st century. But who's ever heard of it? Meanwhile, the average American worker trains his replacement and ensures his obsolescence at places like the check stand at the grocery store or whatever store has the self-checkout things. And I agree with Sebastian Maniscalco. If I do the self-checkout, am I on the payroll suddenly? Does that mean I get paid to do your work? Or are you just happy to train me in the use of your replacement? I won't use them. I will not use them. I guess if that's all there is at a store, then I won't shop there. And you're seeing more and more of them at places like Home Depot and so on and so on. Anyone care? Nah. Disruptive innovation, that's what we call it. And disruptive technology. Disruptive technology. You know? Does disruptive technology redirect now? Yes. Disruptive technology redirects to disruptive innovation. Used to be a separate entry. Speaking of Orwellian linguistic minimalism, and again, the concept of basically Toynbee meets Carlin when it comes to euphemisms and the destruction of language in as a pretext to destruction of civilization. I digress. Anyway, back to C. Wright Mills, so we can get to Norman Dodd through Horace Rowan Gaither and the MITRE Corporation in particular. Again, you know, it's kind of going full circle, a couple of laps around the track, if you will, two or three times around the track. I digress. Hopefully that makes sense. So, the Power Elite Wikipedia entry. Power Elite is a 1956 book by sociologist C. Wright Mills in which Mills calls attention to the interwoven interests of the leaders of the military, corporate, and political elements of a society and suggests that the ordinary citizen is relatively powerless, a relatively powerless subject of manipulation by those entities. According to Mills, the eponymous power elite are those that occupy the dominant positions in the dominant institutions, military, economic, and political, of a dominant country, and their decisions, or lack of decisions, have enormous consequences, not only for the U.S. population, but, quote, the underlying populations of the world, end quote, the institutions which they lead, Mills posits, are a triumvirate of groups that have succeeded weaker predecessors. One, quote, 200 or 300 giant corporations, end quote, which have replaced the traditional agrarian and craft economy. Again, for that, you can go to James Corbett's Big Oil series, two-part series, How and Why Big Oil Conquered the World, corporatereport.com/bigoil. And you learn, I mean, you go back 100 years, and folks were still reporting, there were the cartoons, the political cartoons, showing, you know, John D. Rockefeller with the world in his hands, or politicians in his pocket, or, you know, the Hydra, the octopus that was gripping the world in its tentacles, those kinds of things. Back when, you know, language was still language and things still mattered, before we were just completely marinating in learned helplessness propaganda, essentially. Again, I digress. So that's number one, 200 or 300 corporations which have replaced the giant the traditional agrarian and craft economy. Number two, a strong federal political order that has inherited power from, quote, a decentralized set of several dozen states, and now enters into each and every cranny of the social structure, end quote. And three, the military establishment, formerly an object of, quote, distrust, fed by state militia, end quote. But now an entity with, quote, all the grim and clumsy efficiency of a sprawling bureaucratic domain, end quote. Here's sort of the punchline. Importantly, and in distinction from modern American conspiracy theory, Mills explains that the elite themselves may not be aware of their status as an elite. Ah, but I assure you that at some layer of the onion, someone is aware. Noting that, and, you know, I mean, you have Bella Dodd's intimation, for example, that when the communists were meeting, she noticed that there were capitalists in their midst who would, when a pivotal moment arose in the discussion, the capitalists would wander across the street and get marching orders for the communists. Someone knows at some layer of the onion. And that was, documented by folks like Ralph Epperson. So Mills explains that the elite themselves may not be aware of their status as an elite, noting that, quote, often they are uncertain about their roles. This is echoed by folks like Edward Bernays, you know, in the opening paragraphs of Propaganda, published in 1928. So noting that often they are uncertain about their roles and, quote, without conscious effort, they absorb the aspiration to be the ones who decide. Remember the decider? That guy? Nonetheless, he, Mills, sees them as a quasi-hereditary caste. Remember what Madison said about that? What did James Madison say, whether hereditary? What did he say? How did he put that? Federalist number 47? The accumulation of all powers, legislative, executive, and judiciary, in the same hands, whether of one, a few, or many, and whether hereditary, self-appointed, or elective, or how about D, all of the above? That's the way the devil would have it, right? Hereditary, elective, you know, we're obviously the most qualified because, I mean, look, we have, you know, we are from good stock, the eugenicists say. And you elected us, so why not self-appoint? Why not have it be a D, all of the above? Then you've basically, you are an accomplice to your own execution, essentially. It's the way the devil would have it, right? So, the ones who decide, nonetheless, Mills sees them as a quasi-hereditary caste. The members of the power elite, according to Mills, often enter into positions of societal prominence through educations obtained at Eastern establishment universities like Harvard, Princeton, and Yale. But Mills notes, quote, Harvard or Yale or Princeton is not enough, and this is the punchline. The point is not Harvard, but which Harvard? Mills identifies two classes of Ivy League alumni, those initiated into upper echelon fraternity or final club, such as Porcelain and Fly Club, and those who are not. Remember that True Stream Media video These 100 Secret Societies Prove Who Really Rules America? Remember that one from 2017? Yeah, you can't find that on their new site. Oh well. But it's still on YouTube, right? Let's see. I mean, maybe it's on their new site and at a new address. Could be. Not at the old address. So, these 100 secret societies prove who really rules America. It sounds like the same discussion, does it not? Gosh. Stick around, I'll be right back. Thank you.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have? Do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
These elite college secret societies are endowed with huge sums of money and powerful alumni that allow them to donate heavily to their universities and steer the selection of college presidents, board members, faculty, and student government.
Notable among the features of American colleges is the system of secret societies. In fact, in some colleges, the system has grown to such an extent and society question has become such a paramount one that engrosses a large part of the student's life and enlists him in a mighty conflict for the supremacy of his society.
To some, college societies are merely the fraternities and sororities of excess, drunken playboys and party girls, and still to others, they are the highly respectable stewards of future America, plucked from the best and brightest. But if one fact is confirmed, it is that those who are selected for membership often find loyalty to these auspicious organizations puts them on the fast track for success and leadership positions throughout life. For starters, find one high-ranking politician who wasn't in one. It's hard to do, with membership lists that typically include everyone from U.S. congressional representatives to senators to Supreme Court justices to CIA men and even U.S. presidents. There is solid ground for the assertions that these secret organizations are essential prerequisites for attaining true power and wealth in this country. Though it isn't easy for everyone to believe,
underneath the layer of well-known Greek letter fraternities and sororities that dot nearly every major campus across the country, there is an inner ring of secret societies harbored at institutions of higher education that seem to form the basis of a very true class system hidden in America.
There you go. That is the first minute and 46 seconds of the TrueStream Media video from 2017. These 100 secret societies prove who really rules America. Which societies? Well, watch the video. It's a long one. It's 56 minutes, 27 seconds long. But interesting. So back to C. Wright Mills on our way to Norman Dodd. And what is the point of this? Well, the point is you go back 250 years or so, there was a different mindset, as I understand it. And in a political sense, I would say it's akin. See, I keep doing this, you know, but it is the magician's scarf. You start pulling on swatches, and all of these swatches, multicolored fabric swatches, are linked. So it reminds me of the Union Jack. The prologue that I mentioned, you know, from a political standpoint, it's similar. There was an impetus to hijack the world, basically, politically, and it's similarly written about in the Union Jack, published in 1971, anonymously under the nom de plume Helen Peters. Seeing that Christianity could not be consumed by so many and great persecutions, that just spreads Christianity. But from them, instead, the impetus to fill the whole earth, the workers of wrath have attacked the conscience of the world by fabricating a counterfeit Christianity. And then basically, through that counterfeit, polluting the world is my little parenthetical aside. More deceptively, however, they have added the dimension of feigned persecution. I've talked about that in the past. To their stratagem of fundamental Christianity, quote unquote, the reaction to which is to deceive humanity into a world social state in the name of Jesus Christ. Remember when Jesus said, many will come in my name? Americans will be surprised to learn that America is being used as the major incubator of this neo-Orthodox Christianity, counterfeit Christianity, which is not antagonistic to Marxian communism at all, but is indeed the spirit of it. I remember a friend of mine called me 13 years ago and said, late at night, I've told this story, you know, strange call, 9 o'clock at night, never get calls from this guy. And he says, Chris, I think communism is a religion. Interesting. So back to C. Wright Mills, the power elite, and these finishing societies and fraternal orders, the you know, the upper echelons, those, so Mills postulated, you might say, those so initiated receive their invitations based on social links first established in elite private preparatory academies, where they are enrolled as part of antebellum family traditions. In this manner, the mantle of the elite generally passes through families. The resulting elites who control the three dominant institutions, military, economic, and political system, can generally be grouped into one of six types, according to Mills. The Metropolitan 400, celebrities, chief executives, the corporate rich, the warlords, the political directorate, and, you know, of course, the CIA and the total information awareness society, you know, for full spectrum dominance, has their finger on all of that. Anyway, you know how we've heard in recent years in the, shall we say, call it the Snowden Manning era, that the intelligence community is spying on everyone, including these folks? Yeah. So someone knows at some layer of the onion whose role is what and who's talking to whom. Stick around. I'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Tuesday, September 24th, 2019. Speaking of C. Wright Mills and the power elite, sociologist Charles Wright Mills and his book, The Eponymous Power Elite. Back in 2006, William Domhoff made the observation, Mills looks even better than he did 50 years ago. You know, William Domhoff, fellow sociologist, author of Who Rules America. How many editions does that have? Six subsequent editions, I guess. First published in 1967, Who Rules America. Sociologists, they study this kind of stuff. It's really not a thing to study, though. It's just you make observations. You know, it's not like you guess. And so why share all of this? Well, it's my understanding something different was occurring, unique on the historical landscape. As Ronald Reagan put it, well, what was it, 1964, Goldwater campaign trail. – time for choosing was what the speech was referred to. And so he said, this is the last stand on earth. This idea that government is beholden to the people, that it has no other source of power except the sovereign people, is still the newest and most unique idea in all the long history of man's relation to man. And he said, this is the issue of this election. Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government, or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. And as Bertrand Russell observed, among others, we live in a caste society, essentially, in America, where a certain group of folks are encouraged to go investigate their creativity and cultivate their creativity, while others, that is stamped out of them. Critical thought is stamped out. And so people are encouraged to be afraid, be very afraid. I've seen several articles, and I was going to talk about some of those, but it seems like a waste of time almost to even talk about the headlines. These stories about, you know, fear everything. And it's interesting in the, you know, the Northwest in particular. I mean, this is hunting season. And so when people are hearing about things like chronic wasting disease, it makes them not want to go out. We've gone from a time when, you know, I mean, even listening to the Robertson family on Duck Dynasty talk about how in the early days, when folks would come over, you know, they'd go squirrel hunting before company came over. That was dinner. And there are a number of, I have family members that would tell similar stories in different states across America. This is what we would do. It wasn't called poaching, it was called dinner. And we went from that to, oh, this is poaching, and now it's sporting. Nobody hunts to feed their family anymore. We post selfies of our trophies. You know? And so, but you know, you listen to some of those old guys and they'll tell you, I'd rather shoot a cow elk all day long rather than go try to find some giant rack that registers somewhere on Boone and Crockett. Why? What's the point? But that's not the, you know, that's not what the last couple of generations in particular have been groomed to think. You're not feeding your family. It's sporting. So, you know, the Dianne Feinsteins and the Nazi Pelosis say you don't need 30 rounds to, you know, for sporting. No, you don't. Absolutely not. But the Second Amendment is pretty clear. It's clear and plain language. Nothing to do with sporting or personal or home defense. Nothing. So something happened from like around 1763, 4, 5, as far as I'm aware. And one of the seven most influential men of the day, according to generally accepted accounts of history, that the establishment historians agree, one of the seven most influential men was John Adams. John Adams said that he considered James Otis the earliest and principal founder of one of the greatest political revolutions that ever occurred among men, which echoes what Ronald Reagan said in 1964, I believe. This idea that government is beholden to the people, that it has no other source of power except to sovereign people, is still the newest and most unique idea in all the long history of man's relation to man. But it requires a certain sobriety of mind, a certain responsibility and accountability on everyone's part, every man and woman, so to speak. And if we abrogate that responsibility, what happens? So something different was happening. 1763, 4, 5, James Otis's defense of the Boston merchants in particular, unsuccessful, but leaves an indelible imprint on John Adams' mind. He recounts 60 years later in a letter to William Tudor. I'm sure others felt the same way. He's recalling it in vivid detail in a way that who could do that a year later, let alone 60? Something happened And by 1826, when John Adams and Thomas Jefferson passed away on July 4, something, there was a shift, a transition that was occurring to hijack this incubatory concept, this newest and most unique concept, and hijack it and use it essentially against itself and its adherents and everyone else, in accordance with, you know, the John Dee, Francis Bacon, Manly Hall, America's Secret Destiny kind of stuff, you know, the New Atlantis, that kind of stuff. And so by 1826, the transitions were becoming pretty evident, I would say. And I would say by 1837, Andrew Jackson's farewell address is a sort of clarion call to anyone who holds to a vestige of at least the days of 1763, 4, 5. And from 1837, you sort of skip forward to 1871, United States of America Incorporated, and it's been downhill ever since. You know, and of course, through there, again, you get back to the big oil story. And how do you get away from that now? Look around you. What has not come through the petroleum industry in one form or another? It is astonishing to observe all of the things that the petroleum industry touches. So anyway, backing out of C. Wright Mills, you know, again, fellow sociologist William Domhoff mentioned that Mills looks even better than he did 50 years ago. That was 2006. Always better and better. Why? Well, there's a greater and greater consolidation and concentration of power, leaving the citizen out. So what's the point of telling this story and focusing on these folks? What can you do about it? Well, again, in Jeffersonian fashion, enlighten the people generally, and tyranny and oppression of body and mind will vanish like evil spirits of the dawn of day. That has always been the, I guess, mantra, if you will, of this broadcast. Jeffersonian, you know, inform their discretion. That is the true corrective Jefferson talked about, of these kinds of errors. Let them know. Let them do their own homework. Let them start to figure out how to think critically and exercise their own faculties, not relying on someone else. Because you know what? That's exactly, that plays to this kind of stuff, you know, plays to this agenda. James Madison said it. The accumulation of all powers, legislative, executive, and judiciary in the same hands, whether of one, a few, or many, and whether hereditary, self-appointed, or elective, may justly be pronounced the very definition of tyranny. And, you know, we are groomed to believe that everything is supposed to be perfect. And, you know, I think of Kennedy's words. It's not perfect. The people in tremendous positions of power and influence, or positions of tremendous power and influence, want you to believe that their plans always work out perfectly. Remember Kennedy's remarks before the American Newspaper Publishers Association, April 27, 1961? Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlines, not headlined. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned. No rumor is printed. No secret is revealed. It conducts the Cold War, in short, with a wartime discipline no democracy would ever hope or wish to match. Who conducted the Cold War? Read Anthony Sutton. What do you mean, who conducted the Cold War? Read Anthony Sutton. So was he referring to communism? It conducts the Cold War, in short, with a wartime discipline no democracy would ever hope or wish to match. Its preparations are concealed, not published. You know how we've talked about, speaking of Toynbee, how did he put that? They would get together. From Quigley's Tragedy and Hope, Toynbee can also be regarded as the founder of the method used by the group, later especially in the roundtable groups and in the Royal Institute of International Affairs, as described by Benjamin Jowett, Master of Balliol, in his preface to the 1884 edition of Toynbee's Lectures on the Industrial Revolution. Where are we now? Klaus Schwab says we are in the fourth industrial revolution. Right? World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, Fourth Industrial Revolution. So, Toynbee's Lectures on the Industrial Revolution, this method was as follows. He, quote, he would gather his friends around him. They would form an organization. They would work on quietly for a time. Some at Oxford, some in London. Sounds like C. Wright Mills Power Elite, doesn't it? Some at Oxford, some in London. They would prepare themselves in different parts of the subject until they were ready to strike in public, end quote. In the prefatory note to the same edition, Toynbee's widow wrote, quote, the whole has been revised by the friend who shared my husband's entire intellectual life, Mr. Alfred Milner, without whose help the volume would have been far more imperfect than it is, but whose friendship was too close and tender to allow... Now a word of thanks. Alfred Milner, who was that? Go look at what Alan Watt has said in particular, or some of the work that Richard Grove has done over at tragedyandhope.com. Richard Grove's work. He's done extensive work on these guys, the Rhodes Milner. Fun guys. So, its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned. No rumor is printed. No secret is revealed. Conducts the Cold War, in short, with a wartime discipline. No democracy would ever hope to or wish to match. That's what Kennedy said. Was he referring to communism or the power elite? Anyway, we'll go back some of the other stuff. Let's go to the phones first. John in Tennessee, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Appreciate it, Chris. You know,
hey, John.
You're talking about relationships, and earlier you were talking about so-called Christianity. Things came to mind, and I think it all ties together. So, on a personal level, for anyone listening, if you find a man or a woman and you want to get to know them, what kind of relationship, Chris, would you have? Or could I or anyone else have, if we based our actions on what someone else told us about the person that we wanted to know? If it's a person, go ahead.
That's just responsible, you know. Anyway, yeah, it's a great point. Well, absolutely.
What I'm getting at is in business or in politics, hey, but you can believe me, Chris, believe me. Now, my wife and I have been married over 40 years. So, has it been a perfect relationship? No, but I can guarantee you one thing, buddy. No one knows my wife better than I do, except my wife. Because we have a personal relationship. I got to know my wife based on my actions, my encounters, my arguments, my laughing, my crying with my wife. I know my wife. So, we go to church and we say, We want to know God. We want to know the truth. We want to know why we're here. Mr. Preacher Man, tell me what I need to know. Personal relationship with the Creator, and we're letting a man tell us what we should know, what we should believe, what we should throw away, what we should discount, what in the book that God wrote to each and every one of us, what is real, what is not real, what is literal, what is allegory, what is word speech, what is parables, what are pictures, rather than if I want to know something about my car, I want to hot rod my car, my 68 Cadillac, I go get a book, and I like my car. I don't love my car. I don't own it anymore, folks. But if I want to do something to my car, I pick up a book, and I work on my car. I don't go to someone and say, you know, if I have the ability to do mechanical work like you do with diesels, you went to school and you learned, but then you developed an intricate knowledge with the machine. Chris knows how to do it. John knows how to do it. I want to know God. I want to know what his book says to me. I'm going to go to a man that went to a theological seminary, and I'm going to, and I know him personally, and I say, well, what do you think about this portion of scripture? And he says, well, some believe this and some believe that. And I say, well, what does the book say? Well, the book says this. And John, you know I believe the Bible, but I'm going to go with what Brother So-and-so said. Come on now, where's your head? I mean, if we have a desire to know truth, it's said so often on our being, don't believe me. Don't believe Chris. Don't believe John Stapmiller. What do we all say? Go check it out for yourself, because ultimately, if we go into captivity physically or spiritually, it's because of us not doing our due diligence. You want to know where you're at, pick up a map. You want to know where you need to go. If you don't know where you're at, go back to the last point that you knew where you were and recollect yourself. Reconnoiter. Get back on track. Follow the map. Because 1 degree off will put you in a long trip. You'll be 1,000 miles away off of 1 degree off compass. So we got to get back on track. And it all goes back to what I said earlier, whether it's political or spiritual. You want to know what God has to say to you? Don't ask a man. Don't ask a man. Don't ask me. He talks to me. I don't talk to him for you if it's personal. And I hope I'm not harping, but I'm looking all around, Chris. It's getting crazier by the day. Crazier by the day. Yep. Where His Excellency Donald J. Trump? Really? Yeah. My mouth hit the floor when I heard you say that. I didn't see it. I didn't hear it because I unplugged my television. I don't have, it's not plugged in.
Yeah.
I'm waiting to hear King Donald. Well, if he can be His Excellency, why can't I be King John?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why can't you be King Chris? Why can't we be treated and greeted and... I don't know, man. It's one of them days. I felt like I fell down the rabbit's hole. I met Alice down there and Dorothy and... You weren't there. But you were there and you... Just like we're in a dream world, man. It is. And it's an overused word for me lately. You know, I actually found out what dystopia is. It is a dystopic reality, unreality. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And we're in it, and we can't get off. Until the time's right. When the time's right, I'm out of here. Anyway, thank you for letting me vent. I feel much better now.
Right on. A cathartic something. Rant, shall we call it, or something?
Well, I hope that when people hear me, and I sat here on hold and I'm going, I'm going to be calm. I'm going to talk slow. I don't want to rush it. I want to give them an opportunity. But man, I hope people realize you want to know God, talk to God. You want to know Chris, talk to Chris. You want to know Art Bell, too bad, he's gone. And he went someplace that he didn't think existed, more likely than not. He He's not with space aliens, folks. He didn't get beamed up. Anyway, thanks again.
You're welcome. Thanks, John. Much appreciated. The His Excellency thing is obviously not unique to the UN General Assembly address and dates back to, I mean, you think of like George Washington being addressed that way. And again, where do you, you know, Prince talking with Tavis Smiley about how when I first learned that there were 8 presidents before the Constitution, you know, I thought, why are you trying to tell me what I'm supposed to know? What? Anyway, interesting discussions. What happened to Prince? What happened to Tavis Smiley? I digress. I want to get back to Norman Dodd. We have to get back to that, and I want to play that clip. So, C. Wright Mills, back to the, you know, what Mills wrote in The Power Elite. Hopefully, I've exhausted that, at least for this broadcast. And I was going back, talking about Norman Dodd, you know, G. Edward Griffin interviewing Norman Dodd back in 1982. Norman Dodd, the director of research for the Reese Committee, who talked about interviewing Rowan Gaither at the Ford Foundation. Who was Rowan Gaither? And I said, speaking of the MITRE Corporation, Rowan Gaither, MITRE Corporation, what is the MITRE Corporation? Based in Bedford, Massachusetts and McLean, Virginia. What else is in McLean, Virginia? Actually, you might as well just say what and only what really is and what does McLean, Virginia consist of? So the Wikipedia entry for the MITRE Corporation, what is it? Organization, MITRE is organized as follows. National Security Engineering Center, sponsored by DOD. Center for Advanced Aviation System Development, Federal Aviation Administration. Center for Enterprise Modernization, sponsored by the IRS and the VA. Homeland Security Systems Engineering and Development Institute, sponsored by Department of Homeland Security. Are you picking up a theme here? You know how, again, administrative sort of outsourcing, the administrative fourth branch has been entirely outsourced, essentially, to companies like the MITRE Corporation. And like all branches of things are outsourced to the hands of a single entity like the MITRE Corporation. We'll talk more about that when we come back. Stick around right after this break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.